What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time for something special. Please put your hands together for
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Sports is the anchor, but when you feel like going out on the dangerous seas, then you lift the anchor.
Hey, that figures, you know?
Yeah, sure does.
No, it's lame. Everything's lame.
Jeff Lutz.
Is the fastest time, does that mean they finish first? This one pole vaulter jumped 17 feet. The other guy jumped 15-6. Who won?
Cool. I broke his brain.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition. I'm getting a little mixed minus in my headset. Max Fire will take care of that. Jeff Lutz is here as my co-host. And Max is back in the studio. We are ready to roll
on
a crisp and cool Tuesday. How you been?
Tired, you?
Why are you tired?
Good question. I don't know. You?
Well, I don't know. I don't understand why you're tired. Are you not getting enough sleep?
I don't know what I'm getting. It seemed like I got enough sleep last night. But maybe I didn't. Who knows?
What time do you go to sleep?
9:30.
Time do you get up?
5:30.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's plenty of sleep. I thought you got up earlier.
No.
What's your shift now?
It's 6 to 1:30, something like that.
You full-time over there?
As far as I know. But I work a lot more on other hours.
Well, I'm curious about all that. You never tell me anything. I thought it was 4:30 to 1.
No, I've kind of backed off of that just to save my own life. But it's all good.
Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
I don't leave for lunch anymore. I work plenty of hours, so don't even... It's all good.
Well, wait a minute. Who cares if you leave for lunch?
Well, that's an hour.
The job is to work 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I get there.
Well, we'll talk about it.
No, we won't.
Why?
Because we don't need to.
Well, I'm curious.
It's none of your business.
What do you mean, none of my business?
Yeah, it's none of your business.
My business is everywhere.
Nah, you're good.
I'd like to know a little bit more about this.
You don't need to know any more about it.
There's Are nothing you in good standing?
Of course.
869-1240, that is the IHOP hotline. We'd love to hear from you. We've got Jesse Newell on the show today to talk about the Chiefs. I've heard from a bunch of people when the Chiefs topic comes up, they're not going to win it this year. I can see why you think that, but I'm not there yet.
Well, we'll have to see. You know, I don't like making prognostications. They're either going to win it or they're not. It doesn't matter what I think.
You shouldn't follow sports.
It doesn't matter what I think
sports
or say.
Should have no meaning to you.
Why?
Because that's all it is. At 2:45, Alyssa Gonzalez from Wichita State Volleyball will join us. They are in a first and second round NCAA tournament. Down in Dallas, they'll face the number one seed in that four-team field, Southern Methodist University. Nobody calls them that anymore. They should.
No one has ever called them that.
Of course they have.
No, they haven't. They've
Back
been SMU.
In my day.
Does anyone call the University of California at Los Angeles? No. SMU, UCLA, USC.
Southern Methodist University.
TCU.
Texas Christian University.
I understand what they stand for, but nobody calls them that.
Nobody does now, but they used to.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, Jeff, I lived it.
Not any time I remember.
Okay, well, you're not as old as I am.
Yeah, so anything...
When I tell you something that happened in my life, you don't need to intervene.
No, SMU's
always... I know what happened.
SMU's always been SMU.
That's wrong.
No, it's not.
Sure, if you wanted to shorten it, but not nearly as many people did in that day. They called them Southern Methodists. We call it Houston Baptist. We don't call them HBU.
I've never referred to Houston Baptist once in my life about anything.
Well, I have.
When?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
Again, I've been doing this a lot longer than you have.
So that means you've talked about Houston Baptist?
Right. Somewhere along the line, I've talked about them.
Interesting.
Shockers may have played them. I don't remember.
Unlikely.
Here you go again.
What?
This is becoming a pattern. You just want to come over here in a surly...
I'm not in a surly. You put me in a surly.
Sour mood and...
Sour mood.
Expect me to deal with it.
You put me there.
How'd I put you
in? I don't know. Just the third degree and the push and the... Just don't need
it. Well, I thought you went to work earlier.
No.
This is all news to me.
Doesn't need to be news to you.
I thought you got up at 4:30.
No.
Well, I've learned something today.
There you go.
You don't tell me anything.
I go in a little bit later, get all my work done. Everything's beautiful.
Well, as long as they're okay with it.
Everybody's okay with it.
Well, I may check. I may check on that.
No, you don't need to. You can stay out of things.
You have a game coming up? You don't like fatherly advice, do you?
I don't need fatherly advice.
You don't like fatherly input?
It's not necessary.
You really be okay without fatherly?
That's not true.
It seems that way.
But I don't need fatherly input. I got things figured out. I got a game.
What's the game?
I'm not going to tell you that.
The games have been falling off a little.
What are you talking about?
They need to be playable.
What does that even mean?
They need to be games that we know something about.
Either you do or you don't. That's why it's a game.
By the way, what do you make of Rob Manfred's idea of using a hitter once per game in a given situation, any hitter in your lineup?
I don't know.
You got to know. If you're going to take the opposite side of
I'm
this
I'm not
one,
as up in arms about that as a lot of people
are.
Are
you kidding?
Because Joe Posnanski's been talking about that for years, and I've just kind of gotten accustomed to people talking about it. It doesn't drive me insane.
It drives me insane. What's Joe Posnanski said about it?
He said it'd be kind of interesting.
It wouldn't.
He's talked about how, you know, you don't get those matchups very often. He's been talking about this
for a
long time.
You get the matchups you deserve.
I don't think I would like it, but it wasn't like this thing that came out of nowhere for me.
What if the runner that you want to use is, what if the hitter you want to use in a certain situation is on the bases?
I don't know how that all would work.
You have a guest runner? Are you going to bastardize the sport to that degree?
I'm sure.
You've already got this extra inning nonsense. Nobody likes. Nobody likes the ghost runner. It's not the way baseball was meant to be played. And now you're going to think about doing this? Does this guy know baseball at all?
It's a little different. I don't like it.
Then just go with that.
I don't think I'd go for it. But again, it wasn't one of these things that just like knocked me over. Because again, Joe Posnanski talks about this stuff all the time.
I don't care what Joe Posnanski talks about.
Let's come up with the craziest.
I know you have a high regard for Joe Posnanski, as I do. But if he's on board with this, he's not a baseball guy.
It's not about whether he's on board. He's discussed different type of way, way out there rules that may make baseball more interesting.
Be careful. This would not make baseball more interesting.
Really?
No. This would threaten to ruin the sport as we know it.
So if I had...
So let's say, close the door there. We're going to... I can't believe you. You would take the opposite side.
I'm not taking an opposite
side. Let me ask you this. So the Yankees have Aaron Judge, right?
Right.
Is he going to be the guy they utilize in every one of these situations?
Well, if they have Soto, then no.
Judge will be, right?
Or Soto, if they have him. I'd rather have Soto than Judge.
One of the stars. And so that star will get an extra at bat every game, right?
Not theoretically.
That's 162 extra at bats for your best player. What does that do to the record book?
Man, I don't know.
Well, think about these
things. It changes the record book. It changes things. But that happens in every other sport, too. So, we protect baseball to a different level than we protect every other sport. Like when the three-point shot came along, what did that do to the record book?
Okay, you got a three-man limit as a pitcher, right? Let's say you're only at, you only pitched to one hitter, and they bring in Soto to face the right-handed pitcher. I can't go to a left-hander?
I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. I'm sure they would account for every possible because
do you see
baseball already does that.
Here? Do you see the
well, anybody can point to things that would go wrong until they're addressed by whatever rules would come out of it.
Is this something baseball really needs?
No, it isn't.
Then why are we even talking about it?
I don't know.
It makes me nervous. If that's what Rob Manfred is spending his time on, he makes me nervous.
Either you like baseball or you don't. That should be the position of Rob Manfred. The game doesn't really need to change.
So you're coming around to my view.
No, I don't have an opposite
view. You have a view.
I don't have an opposite view. It doesn't need it. There's no need for it.
But you're not fired up about it.
I'm not as fired up about it as others, again, because I've seen it floated out there for a long time.
But you never thought. You never read that thought and said, "Well, that'd be a let's do that. That's got a real shot." No,
I don't think that's. I don't think it should happen.
Then just go with that.
I am going with it. But you can't tell me there's
you
not.
You keep throwing in a butt.
You can't tell me there's not a little intrigue.
No, there's none.
You don't have anybody.
I have no intrigue in
you
that.
You don't have any players that would enthuse you coming up. But
no, I don't have any intrigue in it.
If I had Brian Rocchio coming up, but I got to bat Jose Ramirez, I don't know.
That's ridiculous. That's utterly. Are you serious?
But as a fan,
no.
If all you want to do is win. And you can gain an advantage somehow, then
there's
enticing on some level.
There's no other move for the opposing manager to make to nullify it.
We don't know
to strategize.
We don't know.
You can't bring in a pitcher.
We don't know that.
You can't get him warm. You can't get him warmed up. You can't bring in. You don't know. It's ridiculous. This is the stupidest.
Since when do we care about?
Oh God, you're going to give me a stroke.
Since when do we care about pitchers?
You're going to give me a stroke.
Pitchers have every advantage already. Who cares?
There is no way you can
up.
Be on board with this.
Well, they're trying to put more offense in the game. I don't care what they. I don't care what they do to pitchers.
You know what? Learn to hit.
Okay, you learn to hit.
Learn to hit better. That's how you get more offense in the game.
Do you understand they're the best hitters?
Learn to hit better.
That's how they hit. They're the best.
Unbelievable that you would even give lip service to this. It makes me wonder about you.
Like what?
You can't be a baseball guy and want this rule or even tolerate this rule. There's no way.
All I'm
There's
doing
not
is...
one base. If you look at the reactions to this... It's unbelievable.
All I'm doing is thinking about the possibilities, right? If I have a superstar hitter, but he's not due up till 7th, but we load the bases, I'd like him up. That'd
oh
be
my
nice.
God.
That'd be nice.
Oh my
to have.
God! You are a loser.
What are you talking
talk
about?
Like that. Seriously,
what are you talking
You're
about?
You're a loser when you want that. You want to bastardize the sport.
What does that even mean?
For the possibility of bringing up your best hitter in a big situation, it's absolutely ridiculous.
So what if the NBA went to 7 fouls instead of 6?
Don't care.
Right. Who cares?
That's not a rule.
But that guy might get to play.
That's not a rule that would change the game.
But that guy might get to play 5 extra minutes and score 3 more points a game, and that really messes with the record book.
6 fouls is fine, and there's no talk of going to 7.
But they've moved the three-point line in. They've added the three-point shot. They've widened the lane.
Those
kinds
of rules are tweaking rules that help the overall game.
They've taken away illegal defense.
This would not help the game. This would ruin the game. It would ruin the game.
What about it would ruin the game?
Because it's not baseball. It's fantasy baseball. It's video game baseball. Oh, this is cool. I got my MLB 25 and I can put up whoever I want.
I don't think that's how video games work, but you never know.
It's ridiculous. And I'm as fired up about it. And I knew you'd come down here today and find some way to defend it.
I'm not defending it.
No, you're
it.
Defending it.
Based on what?
Because you're not blasting it. You're not. Oh my God! What? You're not there.
Why blast it?
Because it's stupid.
Any idea has some merit.
Really?
Yeah.
Any idea has some merit.
It is worth a discussion if someone's going to throw it out there for like.
Give
okay,
me an idea.
You off the show.
Not worth merit. Not worth a discussion.
Can we discuss it?
I mean, I just knew you are so defensive.
What are you talking about?
And you are so steadfast in your refusal to agree with me on almost anything.
I do agree with you. I don't want it. But there is also a side of me that's like...
So if you were talking to Rob Manfred, what would you say? Here's what I'd say. Rob, you need to go.
I would be like, Rob, do you need a...
You're trying to kill the game.
I'd be like, Rob, do you need a press release written up on this?
Really? That's what... Are you sucking up?
What do you mean? That's just what I'd ask him. And if he said no, then maybe we'd get into a discussion.
Well, it's too bad. I feel terrible for you.
There's no need to feel terrible for me. I'm wonderful.
I feel bad that you would even tolerate this.
I didn't say that.
That if it was
all
implemented,
I said was,
you would not climb to the top of the mountain and yell about it.
All I said was there is intrigue in having my best hitter up in the best situation. That's intriguing. You can't say that.
That's
it's
why
not.
You make a lineup. That's strategy.
A lineup has no guarantees.
Right. That's what's beautiful about it. That's why you need a team full of good players.
This has no guarantees either.
Oh, it has a much higher. If I'm a pitcher, I'm quitting. If I'm a fan, I'm never going. If I'm a pitcher, I'm quitting. Good luck with your baseball, boys. Because you've just ruined the game.
You give up the game over this.
Yes.
Really.
I would lose all interest. And I'm not saying that to try to be dramatic or bombastic. That rule, if it is implemented, would cause me, and I'd love this game. I've spent my entire life. There's no one who likes baseball more than I do.
Well, I don't think
that would cause me to be done.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Why is it even out there? Why do we need this? What's the purpose? Oh, look at me. I'm trying to think of ways to make the game better. I'm Rob. You idiot, Rob Manfred. What are you doing?
I don't know.
You're antagonizing your most loyal fans because you had some harebrained notion.
It's not his harebrained notion.
It's his harebrained
notion. It's been out there.
Well, then, whosever notion it was, it's harebrained.
I don't think it's...
And put that in your Joe Posnanski pipe and smoke it.
I don't think it's that far out there. It's not the craziest thing you can come up with. It's not necessary. That's all I'm saying. I don't either. Like I said, either you like baseball or you don't. This isn't going to make anybody extra watch. If you don't know who these players are, you're not going to say, ooh, Lindor's up now, and he's up again in two batters. It's just not necessary.
Your lineup includes 9 players. 5 of them hit. 4 of them are completely defensive players. Only 5 hit. That way you get – and you talk about dumb – see how dumb it is?
But if
but
that
it's a
was,
better – that's a better idea than Rob Manfred's idea.
But if that was the rule since 1870 and it was still the rule now, and we said, okay, how about 9 guys hit? And then you said, well, those 4 guys stink. That's why they're only defensive. They're never going to be able to figure out hitting.
But do you see how dumb my idea is?
But if,
and it's infinitely
but
better.
But if that was the rule
– No, let me talk. It's infinitely better than Rob Manfred's idea.
Okay, but still, if that was the rule dating back to the beginning of the game,
nah, I don't care.
No one would care.
You'll get 4 gold gloves, 5 hitters. That's your lineup. 5 guys bat. Dumbest idea ever.
What if that
the only idea dumber than that one is Rob Manfred?
What if that was the original rule of baseball that only 5 guys hit?
All right.
We're still doing that now.
We're going to take a break, come
nothing.
Back and talk. I don't want to answer that. It's beneath me.
No, it's not.
I'm not answering questions that are beneath me. I made my point. I came up with a the most ridiculous idea in the history of the world, and it's four times better than Rob Manfred's idea. Jesse Newell joins us after the break. We'll talk Chiefs. Stay with us.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 12.4.
Let's get to our hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Jesse, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, I want to ask you, because you are the arbiter. Often on this show after Jeff and I have had a debate. What do you think of the Rob Manfred idea of using a hitter in a key spot one time a game?
I feel like I cheated on the test because I think I know your feelings on this based off of Twitter. I would just say my personal opinion on this is that I guess I'm old enough to be a traditionalist and think that it's sort of ridiculous, and I would not be in favor of it. I will say this, though, that I've heard like a podcast from other NBA GMs where what makes some of those games really exciting, and what you can talk about football too as well, which is like game point, game on the line, you know the ball's going to LeBron or Joel Embiid or whoever, and you get to see superstar versus superstar. It's a little less like that in baseball, but then again, when those moments do pop up, I think it's even more special, like we saw in Game 1 of the World Series this year and the Grand Slam. So very much not in favor, but it does seem to me sometimes like these are just ploys to get us to talk about baseball in December, and what do you know, it might be working.
Could be. All right, let's get to the Chiefs, because they are I've never seen a season like this where every game is a live wire act. Here they are. They're destined. It looks like they could very well be the number one seed, although Buffalo is going to have something to say about that in the AFC. How good is this Chiefs team?
It's a really good question. Not that good the last couple of weeks. I feel like two realities can be true at once, right? Like, if you were just power ranking the teams, and then I remember becoming on your show and saying this a few weeks back, where it's like, hey, the Lions are probably better than the Chiefs right now, but the Chiefs have the better record. It's probably the number of teams that can legitimately claim to be better than the Chiefs has probably grown since then. You know, they're probably the fourth or fifth or sixth best team in the NFL. But if you could place me in the place of one team to try to win a Super Bowl this year, I'd still take the Chiefs because, as you said, Bob, you know, they've got a chance of the one seed. They have, you know, the inside track to that if they can continue winning however they keep doing it. They've got that future Hall of Fame head coach. They've got Patrick Mahomes. And, oh, by the way, all this happened last year. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't know what they were doing on Christmas when they lost to the Raiders last year. And they just sort of have shown an ability to turn this thing on when they need to. And so, I mean, especially if they get the one seed, especially if they get the bye, especially if they make it the Arrowhead Invitational again for the AFC Championship game, I like their chances as good as anybody in the NFL still. So I think we need to kind of label our lucky here, you know what I mean, or label our disappointing, because what's disappointing is if you're the 49ers and you had Super Bowl aspirations and now you're almost out of the playoff race. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're disappointed and the team is still 11-1 and there's everything in front of you. You can still be disappointed in the result and feel like they're not the best team in football, because they're not, but they're still in a great position moving forward. And like I said, the history, even from last January and February, tells us that this team has an ability to turn on when it matters. So I guess I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth here, but how good are they right now? I don't know that they're that good. I mean, good. They're a good NFL team, obviously. They're top five, but are they one, two, or three? Probably not at this moment, because they've got some things to clean up and fix and figure out, and that's basically on every side of the ball you want to look at. Offense, defense, special teams, all of them have questions coming out of this Raiders game.
Yeah, you said they have an ability to turn it on when it matters, and obviously for seeding, there's home field stuff, but how much do these last five games matter to the Chiefs? We know they can go on the road and win in the playoffs. We know they can win three games in the playoffs. We know that they can do all that. So do any of these games actually matter? Do we need to see that quote-unquote turning on when things matter to have a different feeling about the Chiefs going into the postseason?
Well, I mean, again, I don't think it's required, because the Chiefs were a little bit limping down the stretch last year and they ended up winning a Super Bowl, so it's possible. I still think there's quite a bit on the line. You know, the Chiefs had an early bye this year, and Chris Jones kind of even talked to this after the last game against the Raiders, kind of petitioning the NFL to say, hey, if you're going to play, have a team like the Chiefs play three games in 11 days coming up, he would prefer to have a bye later in the season rather than one early that doesn't do him much good. I think you saw last year when the Chiefs were able to sit some players for that Chargers game, it kind of rejuvenated them for the playoffs, especially a guy you're looking at like Travis Kelce, who did not have his legs under him in the final few weeks of the regular season, and then all of a sudden the playoffs was running as fast as he's ever run in his career. I do think the bye week for this Chiefs team would be a huge deal. And it gives you another game you don't have to play. You know what I mean? Like, right now, would you feel like super duper confident in the Chiefs playing the Broncos at home in an opening round playoff game, 2-7? I mean, I don't think you should, right? Like, the Broncos were a non-block kick away from beating the Chiefs Arrowhead a couple weeks ago, you know? So I think these games do matter. As far as the turn-on, turn-off thing, I don't think that the Chiefs are necessarily coasting or believing that they just have, you know, this magic elixir. And I know Patrick Mahomes, for one, was really frustrated after the game with how the team performed. They set a high standard for themselves. But I do think there might be a sense of, you know, when you win these close games, like, for example, when you remember the Buffalo game, when the Chiefs had to have a touchdown late in that game, they did kind of turn it on. And they went like 8 or 9 plays down the field and scored a touchdown in like 2 minutes. And you're like, where's that offense been all year? But it sort of was like, oh, they got to do it now. So they did it. You know what I mean? So there might be a sense of that with this team where it's just like they've been good in clutch situations. They've been good in fourth quarters. They haven't been good at putting any team away, but they do know how to rise to the occasion. And so that might be a game-to-game thing, but I actually think there is a lot on the line here these last few weeks for the Chiefs, because I right now I think they're vulnerable. And getting that bye and getting all those home games for a team that is vulnerable – and maybe not as good as some of the teams they've had in the past, I think that's a big deal. Any of those little margins that you can add up in your favor, you know, could be the difference come playoff time, especially in this season when you're going for a three-peat.
And Buffalo has an easier remaining schedule than the Chiefs, for sure. So we'll see. Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Star. How important is it? I don't know what they can do about their offensive line at this stage of the season. It's been an issue. Is there anything they can do? What schemes can they change? I like it when Mahomes gets out of the pocket and he's done more of that. What can they do to take a little pressure off what is a little bit of a faulty offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, this is the break glass case of emergency. You're probably going to see a new starting left tackle this week. It's going to be DJ Humphreys, the former Arizona Cardinals left tackle who signed with the team about 2 weeks ago. And there's just no other option, guys. I mean, they signed this guy because they kind of figured maybe there was going to be an issue with the depth there. And when Mahomes kind of had his little outburst after, you know, Wanya Morris gave up another sack at the end of that game in the fourth quarter, right around the left side or around the left tackle where he was sacked in less than 2.5 seconds, that was it for Wanya. And it's probably it for the season if, you know, DJ Humphreys can come in and just be, I mean, literally, just be a below-average left tackle. That's what they need right there. I mean, here's the problem with offensive line. When you're talking about, you know, the Chiefs, I don't think their offensive line is below average. I think it's well above average. But we call this a weak link system, which means there's only one link in the chain that has to be broken for this whole chain to be bust through. You know what I mean? So I think Joe Tooney at left guard is really good. And I think that Creed Humphrey at center is really good. And I think that Trey Smith at right guard is really good. Going to get many, many millions of dollars this offseason. And I think Juwan Taylor, when it comes to pass blocking and when he can avoid penalties, is pretty good at just the blocking part of this. But all that doesn't matter if Patrick Mahomes is getting sacked in less than 2.5 seconds because his left tackle can't touch an edge rusher coming off the edge who was cut by the Carolina Panthers in the preseason this year. You know what I mean? So they got to figure out left tackle. They have to get an option there who just does not completely whiff on guys. And so that's why you're going to see a guy who probably doesn't know the playbook, doesn't really know what he's doing in Kansas City yet, is still gaining his bearings, and is coming off a torn ACL. He's the next man up in line, and I just don't think they have another option. So expect T.J. Humphries to start a left tackle for the Chiefs coming up here Sunday Night Football. And if he can be below average for NFL standards, he will continue to be the left tackle, and he will be an upgrade over what the Chiefs have had hit there over the past few weeks.
So they got the Chargers coming up. They've got Denver to close the season. I'm just curious. Do you think how interesting do you think the division is now, especially with the new elements that those teams have? A rookie quarterback in Denver, Sean Payton, second year coach, obviously Jim Harbaugh in Los Angeles. How interesting is that? How much of a different and new kind of challenge do those teams present to the Chiefs, and is that something that could revitalize them in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think this shows you what great coaching can do, right? Like the Broncos bought themselves out of one of the worst contracts in NFL history, or so they thought, with Russell Wilson, and they're still competitive this year. You know, like they are operating with one arm behind their back because they knew they had to get out of that deal, and they did, and they're still good. You know what I mean? That also makes this game kind of, you know, I don't want to put too much on this game for the Chiefs, but like those teams aren't looming too far back in the division. If the Chiefs win this game, they win the AFC West, and you can lock that up. You've already locked up your playoff spot, but you can lock up the AFC West. You don't have to worry about it. Bob, as you said, you know, they've got a schedule coming up here that gets difficult because they got, you know, the Raiders and the Panthers out of the way, even though you thought those were going to be two really easy teams. But it does kind of get a little bit tougher as the time goes on here. So if they can win this game, again, however they do it, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, pick your poison, because that's how the Chiefs win every single game, that would be a big deal, just to go ahead and lock up that division. But to your point, I mean, this is what really good coaches do. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh walks in, and Jim Harbaugh walks in, I mean, and the Chargers immediately go from a team that seemed like they're always cursed to a team that is always winning these close games, and just have a functional leader in charge and people who want to play for him. And all of a sudden that filters down, and it's really good. And Sean Payton, future Hall of Fame coach, I would assume, comes in and, again, operating with very tough salary cap restrictions, they're winning games. And so the Raiders are a mess, and that is helpful for the Chiefs to be able to move forward. But the AFC West is going to be competitive the next few years, and I think the Chiefs probably, you know, would do well for themselves to go ahead and lock this thing up this week and not have this thing be looming over their heads here coming up when the schedule toughens up here over the last few weeks.
Final question for Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We saw the return of Isaiah Pacheco. He was not the Isaiah Pacheco we think he will be. When will he be that? How much rust did he need to get off? And when can the Chiefs and their fan base expect Pacheco to kind of become that one, number one running back we all know he is?
Yeah, I think you'll see it this week. I know the Chargers have a tough defense, and they were sort of trying to ease him back in. And listen, part of this is strategic for the Chiefs because they do have a playoff spot locked up, and you want him to be fresh at the right point in the season. But we saw it in the year. Pacheco, they were throwing the ball to him. And, you know, I would ask you guys, I've asked this of our guys at the Star sports staff too, who is the best yards after catch option for the Chiefs right now? Like, you throw him the ball and you feel good about him gaining some yards after the catch. It's really tough to find anybody, right? Like, it's not Kelsey, not Noah Gray, it's not DeAndre Hopkins, it's not Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe that's your answer, but I think that's why they use Pacheco out of the pass game a little bit more, is he's got speed, and, you know, he's able to do a little bit more of that than he has in years past, has worked on that part of his game. And then the run game, you know, the Chiefs had it non-existent last week. Andy Reid said that the Raiders brought an extra man, so it kind of forced them to pass the ball more. So I think in different matchups, the Chiefs are still a really good run-blocking team, guard to guard, and can be able to have that, and that should give Pacheco some openings and have him utilize his speed like he did for that one, you know, 34-yard run when he was back last week against the Raiders. So I'd expect more out of him this week. I expect more out of him the rest of the season, and I think, frankly, they need him, because this team, when Hollywood Brown went out and when he went out, they went to from a fast team to a not fast team very quickly. So I think if they get back to utilizing him a little bit more, the offense will operate a little bit better, and they'll see more openings than they have in games past. And so I think it'll be a big thing in the offense, and wouldn't be too worried about that opening start being a little bit slow. But, yeah, it would be good to get him going back again because he does add an element, especially in the backfield, they don't have before.
All right, the Chiefs at home Sunday night to face the Chargers. Jesse Newell has been our guest. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Yeah, the Chiefs have the Chargers at Cleveland, at home against Houston, at Pittsburgh, at Denver. Tough.
Could
no
be.
Gimmies. Buffalo, which is chasing the Chiefs, of course, has they're at the Rams and at the Lions the next 2 weeks. Then they have the Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Yeah, it's kind of an opposite. Chiefs finish a little bit more difficult. Buffalo has its most difficult games in the immediate future.
Are the Rams a difficult game?
No.
I'd like to think they are, but they're not.
I don't think Houston at home is that difficult, to be honest.
I disagree.
I don't like Houston very much.
I know you don't. I don't know why.
Because they're not very good.
They're, what are they, 9-4?
Are they?
I mean, what? Don't get me started.
They play in a horrible division, so there is that.
Well,
I just don't like Houston that much.
Well, maybe, I don't care.
Maybe they'll show me something.
The fact that you don't like Houston doesn't matter. The fact that Houston's good
matters.
Right.
This is what I tell you every time you make a proclamation. What we think doesn't matter, but we can still have opinions.
They're 8-5. So I gave them an extra win.
They're the same as Baltimore. Do you think Baltimore's really good?
Yes.
Really?
I wouldn't want to play Baltimore. Houston has lost to Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, and then two inexcusable losses to the Jets and the Titans, which we'll never understand.
Yeah.
Terrible. All right, Alyssa Gonzalez joins us. She's a redshirt freshman outside hitter for the Wichita State volleyball team. They're headed to Dallas. They'll face SMU on Thursday night at 7 o'clock in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Alyssa, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing well. We're excited for the Shocker volleyball team. This is a great reward at the end of the season. I'm not sure many people thought that this was going to happen. How did the team stay together and believe that, yeah, we've had some ups and downs, but we can still make our dreams come true? How did you guys go about that?
Yeah, we went into our conference tournament being the fourth seed, and we didn't let that standard like hold us back or anything in that seeding. And so we just decided that we were going to go into the tournament and we were just going to play our hearts out and leave it all out on the court. And it got us great, great outcomes. We swept our way through the tournament, and I'm so excited to go play SMU.
Yeah, and you were on the all-tournament team. So what clicked for you in those three matches? Did you feel like you were playing your best volleyball, too, at that time?
Yeah, and I really think it was, like, all of us as a team. Obviously, I was put in great situations to succeed, but I couldn't have done it without my teammates who put me in those situations.
Talking with Alyssa Gonzalez, you mentioned how much you look forward to playing SMU. You're a Texan. You started your college career at TCU, so I got to imagine SMU has a little extra special feel to it. Am I right?
Definitely. I have a lot of different friends from high school, and a lot of my friends are still in college, but their families are all coming to the game. And so I'm just excited to see everyone, and I'm excited for all the support that us Shockers are going to have, even though it's not a home advantage.
You know, we didn't come up in the era of the transfer portal, so it's always interesting to talk to people who have experienced that or, you know, kind of put it to use. Like you said, you went to TCU last year as a redshirt. What was it about that experience that prompted you maybe to feel like you weren't getting an opportunity there or that you could get a better one elsewhere? Can you just take us kind of through your mindset in making that kind of decision?
Yeah, so I was at TCU, and I am forever thankful for my time there. I got to compete and play with the best every single day. They're a top 25 program. This whole season, they've been in the top 25 for a majority of the week. So just having that experience and being able to train with those top caliber girls, I think gave me something that not everyone has on this team. So I was able to learn from the best and compete with the best every single day. So when I entered the portal, I was ultimately looking for a school that I could go to that I could play and I could have a huge impact on the team. And I love the coaching staff here at Wichita. So I really just felt that I could be put in a great situation here.
Come on. Why does everybody love Lambeau?
He is just such a guy. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. When I entered the portal, I had about 15 days, I want to say, to like choose my next school. And Lambeau just made me feel comfortable, and he just convinced me that this was going to be my place.
Talking Shocker volleyball with Alyssa Gonzalez. She's a redshirt freshman for the Shockers. So you mentioned being at TCU and in that culture and around all those good players. There are obviously good players here at Wichita State, and one of them is Morgan Stout. How much have you learned from her and her experience?
Yeah, Stout is obviously much older than me, so she has a lot of years of experience under her belt than I do. So I've just taken what she's taught me and tried to use it to the best of my ability. And, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times, and it happened with you too, when we ask WSU volleyball players about individual stuff and accomplishments, they bring it right back to the team. Do you think Lambeau recruits players like that specifically, or is that something that he reminds you of quite a bit, that it's a team game?
Yeah, I think that is just a huge part of the volleyball culture. I think not just WSU, but any volleyball player you talk to, I think ultimately it goes back to the team. This is just such a team-heavy sport that we play, and no matter, like, your mentality, it will quickly change as soon as you start playing volleyball to a team sport.
Alyssa Gonzalez with us from Aleta, Texas. I got to ask you, when you guys got together and watched the selection show, I think the conventional wisdom was that you might be headed to Lincoln or Omaha or Lawrence. How'd you feel when you were announced to be going to Dallas and in the SMU bracket?
Yeah, when I had heard the first three places that we could possibly be playing, I was excited, but we had already played at KU this season. We had also played at Nebraska, and then we had played against Omaha at a tournament at home. So I was really deep down praying we'd go to SMU because obviously it's my hometown. So being home and then just playing new people, I think that would be a great experience. I know some of these girls have played SMU, but I think this SMU team is a completely different team than the Shockers saw last year. So I'm just excited to be able to compete.
Yeah, so you come from an athletic family. You're obviously athletic yourself. You're tall. You can jump, hand-eye coordination. You check all those boxes. So was it always volleyball for you? Did you grow up playing a lot of different sports? And outside of, you know, those obvious things that I mentioned, what kind of drew you to volleyball and kind of made you excel there?
Yeah, so both of my parents played college basketball. So growing up, I played college basketball, and in my mind, I was like, I'm going to the WNBA. I'm going to be the best basketball player. And it was just straight basketball. And then I want to say like seventh grade, I was still playing basketball and everything. And my mom mentioned to me, hey, you should try volleyball. Just like experience it, you know, like you never know what can happen. And I just fell in love with the sport. Like the girls are just my people. And it's just such a fun sport. And I love how team sport and team, like team it is, if that makes sense. where basketball can be really individualized, but volleyball, you have to get three different people to touch the ball on every single play, or the ball is going to like drop and you're going to fail. So I just love the fact that you have to all work together.
Alyssa Gonzalez with us, Shocker Volleyball. I'm going to end our interview asking you a pretty silly question, but I'm curious. Mm-hmm. You're from the Metroplex. What's the best place? What's the best thing about growing up in Dallas-Fort Worth area? And then the second part of that question, what have you enjoyed most about Wichita in your time here?
So your first question, I actually was born and raised in California, and then I moved to Texas my senior year. But
well, I screwed that up.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. But I absolutely love Texas. Like, I will be going back there. I would love to raise my family there and everything. So I absolutely love the Stockyards. Me and my family love going to the Stockyards, and we spend a lot of time there. And whenever people come and visit us, we immediately take them to the Stockyards. So that is one of my favorite places. So many good memories there.
And then Wichita. And what have you enjoyed about Wichita?
Yeah, I just enjoy spending time with my teammates and playing. That's my favorite place to be, is in the gym. So
there you go.
So Alyssa, we have something in common. Our mothers both attended UCSB. So say hello to the fellow gaucho for me when you get a chance.
Yes, I will. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. Shockers again in action Thursday night against SMU. It was a chance to advance. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Thank you.
All right, Alyssa Gonzalez from Shocker Volleyball. I didn't know she grew up in California. Why didn't you tell me that?
I didn't know. Sorry about that.
I just presumed she was a Texan.
Well, she went there her senior year.
Oh, well.
Aledo,
Texas. It's a Dallas suburb.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we'll take a break. We've got an hour left. We've got a game coming up at 3:25. Tomorrow on the show, Mike Furches will be with us to talk pop culture, and also Wichita Northwest basketball coach Andy Hill. Stay with us. Why would my own son do that?
It's a strange world.
Jeff Lutz.
Yeah, I'm disgusted by, oh, they want to know about me.
We like it.
I do this show daily with someone who's frankly not too entertaining.
There you go again, Mr. Humble.
I can feel the love.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. If you'd like to go back and listen to any part of the show, you can do it on the Audacy app, AUDACY, or at KFH Radio under the podcast button. Or you can find out on Twitter. Max posts the full show plus segments of the show.
Wow.
Every single day.
That's amazing.
So if you want to hear us, and Lord knows you do, there are many options.
Well, they're hearing us right now.
Well, I'm saying if you want to.
Right, but they already
are.
You
see what I'm saying?
But they're listening right
now.
I know
that, but I'm saying, but if you want to.
I don't get it. If they want to, aren't they?
Of course you don't get it, because I don't want you to get it.
Well, you should want people to get it.
I don't want anybody to get anything.
Well, that's a personal issue, it sounds like.
I don't care who gets what.
Okay.
As long as I get paid at the end of the week.
Really? That's it?
I'm good.
We get paid every 2 weeks.
I get paid every week.
No, you don't.
You're not aware of that, but that's another thing that...
No, I'm not aware of it, and neither are you.
If I wanted to get paid every week, I could.
I think you should try.
Well, what if I do?
Go for it. Doesn't make a difference to me.
Are you getting amped up at all for the Christmas season?
I don't know.
You put up decorations at the house?
Yeah, our tree's up already. I just like hanging out. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know how
That's
I feel.
Weird.
I don't know how I feel.
What do you mean?
About the holidays. I don't know. It's
what?
It's different.
How?
Kids not home. It's just, I don't know.
Well, you got an empty nest, and you guys never had a follow-up child, and here we are.
Haven't yet.
Nah, that's not going to happen. You're in your 50s, both of you.
I'd love to be an old dad.
Yeah, you keep saying that, and the years just keep ticking away.
I'm not old enough yet.
It's pretty alarming.
There's nothing to be alarmed about.
Well, I'm alarmed. Here I am without, I've got the granddaughter, but I don't have another grand.
Well, we'll work on that for you.
Grandchild. I don't know that you will.
Okay.
You don't, are you? Are you, is that a plan?
Not yet.
Not yet?
That's not a plan.
You're in your
it's
late
not a,
60s.
It's not a plan. It's not a plan. It's not a plan.
So that's never discussed.
It's not a plan. It's not a plan.
Is it discussed?
I don't think that's... What do you think of...
No, I want an answer to that question.
What do you think of Kofi last night?
I won't answer any questions until
I won't answer any questions until...
Until I get an answer.
No.
What was your question?
What do you think about Kofi turning on Big E?
Predictable.
No, it wasn't. Nobody predicted that.
Of course it was.
Absolutely not.
You knew they were going to be bad guys.
No, you didn't.
Of course you did.
No, you didn't.
Absolutely.
Then why didn't you tell me that yesterday when we talked about it?
I wasn't that involved.
Oh, so you just turned it on to bad guys.
I mean, it's time for them to do something different. You're talking about the New Day in WWE.
I made the statement.
And we're not going to talk about this long because every time I do, I get an email.
No, you don't. But I just...
I do.
I wanted to make the statement. I've only made it to one person, and that's my wife. Kofi Kingston is my favorite wrestler of all time.
Ah, you'll change. Those kind of things mean...
Change?
Yeah.
I'm working on a Mount Rushmore.
Because that wasn't the case before last night.
Yes, it was.
You've never told me that or anybody else.
As I said, I've only told one person. And that was my
you'll
wife.
You'll change that.
No, I won't. Well, I might, but it won't be... I won't change it to someone from the past. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
Like he took the mantle away from Eddie Guerrero.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
I don't know. It's been in the works. It's been building. I've loved Kofi for a long time. But I've only recently said he's my favorite.
Well, good for you.
Good guy.
Isn't it a little troubling that you're 41?
Well, he's 43. Who cares?
Yeah, he's making a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's good for him.
You're not.
I'd like to hang out with him. We'd probably be friends.
And by the way, can I just say this about WWE? I reached out to get some tickets for some kids in League 42. And Christine Pelekas, is that her name?
Yeah.
She's always great. She gave me an email to send my request to.
Right.
With WWE, community at W, whatever it is.
Sure.
And I've emailed them twice with nothing.
That's unfortunate.
And I don't like that. I don't care for that. Does that make sense? I'd rather have the, I'm sorry we can't accommodate you at this time.
Right.
Email than the, nah, I'm not going to get back to that.
Well, they're not even comping tickets for their wrestlers now. And I agree that they should get back to you.
That's all I want. Whenever I send out a communication, really all I want is a reply.
Oh, man, I'm totally with you.
What do you mean?
I'm totally with you.
When do you do it?
I hate when people don't get back to me.
I do my very best to respond to every single text, email, Facebook message, Twitter message, whatever it is, however you're trying to reach me. You can pretty much bank on a response.
Yeah, I try to be the same way. In fact, somebody texts me right now, I'll get back with you.
People text me all the time.
I don't get that many, but when I do,
I get a million.
It's a highlight because I get to respond, and that's my favorite
thing. I get a bunch.
Of course you do.
Thank you for agreeing to that.
I saw you're up for an Odyssey Award or something.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Congratulations.
I'm not in the world for awards.
I'll see if I can throw a vote your way. I may or may not
How'd I get nominated? Did you?
Well, I don't think there was a nomination process. It's like community impact, and that's kind of pretty obvious.
Well, who put it up there?
Again, I don't know.
Who am I competing with?
Dara Jewel.
She's involved with the...
She does Wolfstock and a lot of other things.
And we give her a lot of credit.
Yeah, she's a nice person.
She's probably the favorite to win.
We'll see. It's going to be close.
Because people, isn't she in the building quite a bit?
I don't think she is, actually.
Well, I hardly ever am. So nobody over there knows me. They may know my name, but they don't know what Bob, who? That's the response to that.
I think Tommy Caster made the nominations.
All right. Well, there was a day when we were in that building every day.
Yeah. Several years ago.
And we went to work, and we had a good time. I got to sit down almost every day with Jack Oliver and most days with Ted Woodward, and we got to catch up. And now these human connections. You know, if the studio at Odyssey was over on this side of town, that's where I'd go to do the show. But it's not.
It's too far away.
Way over there.
Yeah, nobody lives out there.
It's a 20-minute drive at least to and from. So if I can save 45 minutes out of my day by doing this show here, of course I'm going to do that.
Yeah, and it's almost an hour for me.
We're talking about me.
I don't care about you. Most predictable human being on earth.
Why so angry?
Not angry, but, I mean, get a shtick that is
I've got a shtick.
Updated.
That's what a shtick is.
Get a new one.
A shtick is predictable.
Get an updated shtick.
You don't want to disappoint people with an unpredictable shtick. A shtick is something I can... I'm listening to Bob today. Listen to this, Eunice. He's going to do something here in a minute.
Next.
It's going to be a shtick. Listen. If I went outside the shtick... Then I got nobody.
You can create a new act.
I don't want to create.
Reinvent
a new...
yourself. Nobody... I do every year.
You what?
I reinvent myself on this show every year. What will next year?
I see nothing that indicates that that's the case.
What will next year be? I wonder. That's...
What were you the last year?
This past year?
Yeah, 2023.
Extremely confident and irreverent.
In 23. What about 22?
No, 24 is what I is. This,
what were you in 23?
23, I was kind of moody.
And that's not in 24?
No, not at all.
22, what'd you do?
22, I was I kind of honed my comedic craft a little bit more.
What? You're delusional.
21, I boned up on football. I was kind of the football authority. 20, things went haywire.
You've not done much that I can tell to add to the quality of the show lately.
It's a growing repertoire that I possess. You'll miss it if you don't look for it.
Well, I think what you've done in 24 is become angrier. And I can't quite put my hand on the reason why.
Well, when you get gaslighted every day, then yeah, you get...
Who's gaslighted?
Well, you just did. You're telling me I'm angry. So now I got to feel like, am I angry? It's just mind games, and I'm not going to fall for it.
Well, you just did.
No, I didn't.
And it's not a mind game.
Maybe you've gotten a little angry.
I don't think I have. I think I'm not angry. I don't have anything to be really angry about. Yesterday, I had two coaches step down in League 42.
What'd they do that for?
I don't know. But those are the things you have to deal with on the fly, man. Fortunately, I put out a SOS, and it was answered.
You got some...
Yeah, and a couple guys stepped up and said, I'll coach.
Good.
And I appreciate that. I never will take that lightly. People who do that... mean a lot to me and to League 42. So if you have an interest in coaching, get with me. You know how. You can email League42Wichita@gmail.com and we'll find a place for you. We're making good headway. We're good. We're in a good spot.
Good. Year 11 coming up?
Year 12, 11th on the field. We didn't play in 2020.
It's big.
Yeah, it's big.
It's a lot of years.
Did you ever think this would last this long? Be honest.
I don't know. I don't know that
Where's your right hand?
I don't know that I put a limitation on it.
When the idea first came out, and I'm 58 years old.
I don't know. Maybe I thought that it would last this long, but I didn't think you'd have a huge building. I didn't think you'd be renovating fields and putting turf. I don't think that was in my realm. But I don't know. It's just been a natural progression.
Well, you got to do all this.
I don't have experience with a nonprofit.
It's an experience. Let me tell you that. An experience unlike any other.
But I'm available to be on any board of any nonprofit.
No, you're not going to be on a board.
Why wouldn't I be?
Why would you be?
I mean, there are causes that are near and dear.
Go be on a board of
Humane
Society.
Does the Kansas? Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Do they have a board?
Get a hold of those folks.
Maybe I think I will.
Mark Eby. My wife can give you his direct number.
Oh, I can find it. But that'd be nice.
And maybe they can find a way for you to get involved with them.
Yeah,
that's
we'll see.
A passion for you.
Of course.
That seems to be a good fit for you. We'll see if you follow through.
Yeah, it's not whether I follow through or not. It's whether I... It's not about desire, right? It's about time, and we'll see.
Let me tell you something about time.
Yeah, but I still
if
have
it's
to...
Important, no, no. If it's important enough to you, you make time.
Right, but that means eliminating something, perhaps.
Right. Something
that's important.
Like sleeping under your blankets.
Yeah, maybe, those are nice blankets.
Maybe eliminate that.
I get good blankets for that very reason. So that
maybe eliminate that and do something for the community.
Is this not doing something for the community?
No, this isn't.
Really?
And you'll have I believe you'll have a desire to do that at some point.
I'm sure I will. I am still, I'll never have life completely figured out. I'll always hope to be moving forward
in
some way.
The only real thing you can do as a living person that matters is not writing a daily column, not being on the radio, not those things.
I disagree with that, but...
trying to make a difference for others. That's really the only thing you can
do. Those things do make a difference for others.
They do, but you get paid big, not big, but you get, you know what I'm saying.
Right, but a lot of things that people get paid for still provide public service.
Is writing a daily column a public service?
Yes. If people enjoy it and it helps them get through their day and it makes them think and feel, then of course. Is it curing cancer? No.
My wife informs me that Mark Eby is no longer at the Humane Society. I was unaware. Thank you for that.
Well, somebody better be. I know people at the Humane Society. I'm good. I'll figure it out.
We do the best we can here. I didn't know he wasn't there.
Yeah, who knew?
But anyway, I don't view what I do here as a huge public service.
That's all it
is. I think people enjoy it.
But that's all it is it's not a huge public service, but we wouldn't be on the air if we didn't entertain and make people feel good or whatever we do. This wouldn't exist. This is only for other people. We don't do this for us.
Well, speak for yourself.
I do.
There it is again.
I do. I'm doing it for
that
me.
That shtick is so good.
It's one of the worst. No one's texted me either. That's
and right, because nobody agrees with
you. I was going to get back with somebody.
If we put the question out, do you want Bob to change his shtick?
80% would say yes.
Let's bring Max on.
Well, he's got to click all those buttons.
He's got to hit about 19 buttons.
We'll talk to him in 10 minutes.
Right.
And he's playing the game today,
of course.
Well,
he is going to play the game, so we'll just get to it when we play the game. But remind me to ask.
I hope we forget.
Well, there he is. Max, you with us?
I'm with you. I'm here. Tony was just telling me about the Rudd Center and your board problem.
Yeah, we're going to get that all figured out. Should yours truly, after 9 years of this show, should I try to change my shtick?
No.
There you go.
You are who you are.
Or should I continue to reinvent and add little elements every year that people obviously notice?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Have you noticed any difference in Jeff?
Yeah, his sense of humor is drier and funnier. I like it.
Thank you.
Mm,
what a human being Max is.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, it gives you a compliment. All right, time for a break. We will play the game next. The Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right. What's the game? And Max, it is time to.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time to play the game here on the Bob and Jeff Show. Jeff has a game. Max and I will compete to see who has the most knowledge in this particular area. What is the area?
Well, we got TV and movies is what is the category.
I should do well.
No, you won't.
What do you mean I won't?
It's a tough game.
Why do you make them so tough?
I don't know, because I've done a million games.
And people like simple games that they can play along with.
Yeah, that's true.
No, really. I'm not. Don't just blow that off.
I want to play the game. I don't need the comments from the contestants. I'll shut that down immediately.
What is it?
I'm going to first give you the television show and the year. You're going to tell me as much as you can. You're going to try to guess the network, the day, and the time that that show was on.
Can we do some cast members? Wouldn't that be more fun?
No. And then...
to me it would.
Then name cast members. You're not getting any points for it. And then I will name a movie, and you're going to tell me... the animal that was the main character.
Max, I think if you name a cast member, you should get a point for every cast member.
I don't care what you could
then
name. You come up with a game.
You good with that, Max?
Max, don't answer that, and I'll shut it down. We won't play a game.
Okay. What's the next next game?
Okay. Max, turn the music off. We're just going to make this a regular segment.
Just go.
Max, as defending champ, would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first. Why not?
All right. Your television show is The Jeffersons, and the year is 1983-84, that television season. Just tell me the network, the day of the week, and the time it aired.
Sherman Helmsley and Isabel Sanford.
-2 for Bob.
It was ABC.
Go ahead, Max.
It was ABC.
Nope. That's wrong.
Is it wrong? I thought it was ABC.
Keep going.
Because they spun off from All in the Family. All right, ABC.
Yeah, keep going.
ABC. Wrong. Were they? I want to say they were. There was Sunday night at 9.
9 what?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, what time zone?
Oh, Eastern.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. We live in the Central time zone.
He lived in the East. He lived and that's the time the show came on. From now on, though, Max, I'll need you to guess in Central time, if at all possible. But you missed.
Can I go back and clean that up?
Well, he got
on CBS.
He got 2 correct, so he gets 2 points. Max, your movie is Babe.
A pig.
Gosh, that's so easy.
A pig.
Yeah, 3 points.
3 points?
He got 2 from the TV and 1 from the movie. Your television show from the year 1977-78 is Chips.
Eric Estrada.
-1.
Wow. Why do you keep naming the guys, Bob?
Because that's all he can do.
What's the question? What do I have to figure out?
You have to tell me the network, the day of the week, and the time.
Chips was on ABC.
Let's go.
The time?
The day and the time.
The day and the time.
Yeah.
Tuesdays at 7.
Incorrect. NBC Thursday at 8. Your movie is Black Beauty.
A horse. There you go. Sake.
You got 1 point.
Kind of a moron wouldn't know that.
Max, your television program is from the year 1990 and 91. The show is Coach.
Coach.
So easy.
The guy that's on Young Sheldon. Coach.
Nobody cares.
I don't know. Tuesday night. I never watched Coach. NBC at 8 Central.
You get one.
ABC at 7 Central on Monday.
Not in 1990. It was on Tuesdays at 8:30.
That's...
And your movie is Racing Stripes.
Racing Stripes.
So easy.
I don't know. A horse.
Incorrect.
You saw that? You saw that movie, Bob?
Sure I did. It's about dogs.
It's a zebra.
Nobody saw that movie.
1969-70, The Brady Bunch.
Robert Reed, Florence Henderson, Maureen McCormick.
Minus three.
Eve Plum.
Minus four.
Barry something.
Minus five.
Don't give me minus.
This isn't the game.
That should be the game.
It's not. And nobody,
I'm giving the listeners what
nobody
they
cares.
Want.
Everyone knows Florence Henderson was in The Brady Bunch.
What year they go okay, the Afro
you're,
Bob?
You're done.
What network?
Network, day, and time. Quit acting like you don't know.
ABC, no. Yeah, ABC, Tuesdays at 7.
That was Friday, wasn't
it? ABC Fridays at 7.
Well, I got two right.
You get 2 points. Your movie is Babar.
Babar?
Babar.
Are these movies people saw?
Everybody knows what Babar is.
No, people don't know Babar. It had a long snout, but an elephant.
Yeah.
Bob Barbouille.
All of a sudden, it's 4-4. Max, 1980-81, the great, what was that guy? Ed Asner, starring in Lou Grant.
Why are you giving us the people who were in
because
it?
Because that's not
I
the
like
question.
I like to name the people.
Good. I'm going to name all the stars in the next one.
CBS. Yes. CBS. Thursday night, 8:30 Central.
Oof. You get one. It was on CBS.
Sunday nights.
Monday.
No.
Monday, 9 p.m. Your movie is Andre.
Did anybody see these? Andre the Giant. I don't know. A dog.
Andre was a seal.
Sorry, Max. Nobody saw Andre.
I made a Facebook group about it a long time ago. Bob, 1997-98, The Nanny.
Fran Drescher. The Nanny was on CBS on Monday nights at 8 o'clock.
Incorrect. It was on CBS, but it was on Wednesdays at 7.
How are we supposed to remember that?
You're not. Happy Feet is the movie.
Happy Feet.
Yes.
Happy Feet.
Happy Feet.
A penguin.
That's correct.
Penguin. Quack,
Bob has taken the lead.
Quack.
Max, from...
Did you see Happy Feet, Bob? Just tell me.
No, but I knew that movie. It was a pretty popular movie. Mm. But I haven't seen it, but I knew it was about a penguin.
Ah.
Max, from somehow 20 years ago, the show Desperate Housewives from 2004, 2005.
That's so easy.
Friday nights.
Wrong.
9 Central. I never watched Desperate Housewives.
Wrong.
Network?
ABC.
That's correct.
Got that. ABC Sunday night.
It was on Saturday nights back then.
No, it wasn't.
And he got the time
it
correct.
It was never on Saturday night.
In 04, 05 it was. Max, you're...
But that's not where it made it. That's not where it's made its home.
Don't care. Max...
This is the dumbest game you've ever come up with.
Max, your movie is Flipper.
Oh,
a
God.
Dolphin.
Yeah, I gave him that just for you.
With Sandy and...
If you're going to complain, I'm going to give him easy ones.
Although the first one didn't, first movie didn't have Bud.
Be quiet for a minute, Max.
Bob, from 1987 and 88, the show is Married with Children.
Oh, I love that show.
Sunday, Fox, 7 p.m.
Correct. All three correct. Your movie is Dunstan.
Wait a minute. Let's take a moment.
Don't care.
To talk about that.
No, you're supposed to get right answers. Your movie is Dunstan Checks In.
Dunstan Checks In.
Yeah.
A monkey.
I'll give it to you. It's an orangutan, but we'll give it to you.
That's a monkey.
Max.
Technically.
From 1972.
What's the score, by the way? I got to be blowing this thing open.
10-8.
Oh. You're cheating again.
Max, from 1972-73, the hit show Sanford and Son.
NBC. What would it be here? 7:30 Central.
What?
NBC.
What day?
Oh, Sanford and Son.
I'll never forget this.
Thursday night?
My dad's favorite show.
Thursday night?
That's not correct.
It is not correct. You did get the network. Came on Fridays at 7.
Gosh, I would have gotten that one.
Your movie is Free Willy.
An orca. A whale.
Yeah.
I mean, you're giving him the slam dunk.
I am, yes.
Why?
Because you're complaining, and he's not. Bob, from 2012-13, hilarious show, New Girl.
New Girl.
Yeah.
That was on Tuesdays at 7 on, was that Fox 2? Fox.
Yeah, that's correct. Mondays at 8. Your movie, what's a tough one here?
Why are you giving me the tough ones? I didn't get
that. Your movie is Beethoven.
A dog.
Yeah. See, I gave you an easy one. You happy? Max,
all right, final round.
We'll go as many as
No, we. This is it. This is the final round.
Max, from 19...
What's the score going into the final round?
I don't know.
No, we want to know that. That's why we play.
12-10.
I did a triple.
Max.
I'm ahead.
From 1964-65, Bonanza.
Easy.
Oh, Sunday nights.
Easy.
NBC.
Easy.
7 Central.
Wrong. 8.
Your movie.
I mean, I'm dominating this game.
Your movie. Is it going to be an easy one? And it is Finding Nemo.
Oh, my God.
A fish.
I'll accept that.
Am I supposed to know what kind
of
fish?
So what's the score?
The clownfish. Max has 13. Bob, 12.
This is so rigged. Final one. Look at you. You're going down your list. You're finding the hardest one you can.
Yeah, none of them are that.
Instead of Bonanza.
None of them are that difficult.
I only knew Bonanza, Bob, because I just read Tim Matheson's book. That's the only reason why I knew it.
The next one is probably the most difficult.
The internet isn't. Go.
No, it isn't. From 1984-85, Falcon Crest.
CBS. Nine p.m. Friday night.
Correct. Gosh dang it.
Look at that, Bob. Bob watching Falcon Crest. Who was in that, Bob? Was that
Donna Mills?
Yeah, Donna Mills.
Joan Collins. Yeah.
Donna
Your
Mills
movie is Ted.
Donkey.
Nah. Oh, he's a talking teddy bear.
But I won.
You did. You did,
unfortunately.
Donnie Mills was something,
Bob. Once I take away
Bob
the points.
Play Misty for me.
Yes.
Once I take the points away that you lost by not following the rules, Max wins.
I surprised you with Falcon Crest, I'm sure.
A little bit. What show did it come on after?
Dallas.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then Knott's Landing was a part of all that stuff, too.
Might have been eventually, but not then.
All right, we'll take a break. Another winner. Another dinner winner.
Max won.
Thank you all for listening and your support of me in these games. I wanted to mention the sadness that a lot of people are feeling about the passing of former Kansas State player and coach Dana Dimmel, who passed away in his sleep overnight. He had been a football coach for a long time after his playing career ended. He started as a graduate assistant at Kansas State in 1987, was at K-State for about 10 years, concluded his run there as offensive coordinator, was really in on the ground floor of everything that Bill Snyder did to turn that program around. And then Dana went ahead and got a head coaching job at Wyoming, a head coaching job at Houston, returned to K-State for a time from 2009 to 2017. Long coaching career, still a young man at the age of 62, sad about the passing of Dana Dimmel. So wanted to get that mentioned. Aroldis Chapman headed to the Boston Red Sox on a one-year deal.
He got a lot of money. I didn't.
He's been around forever.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
It's going to be a weird case for him.
It's a weird case. There's been no one like him. But you remember when he came up with the Reds, which seems like I was a young person. When he came up with the Reds, we hadn't seen anybody who threw that hard.
Is this going to be his 20th year in the bigs?
Something like that. And he's still striking out a bunch of people. He's averaged 14 strikeouts per nine innings throughout his career. There's been no diminished fastball. He's still hitting triple digits. How does that happen?
Well, it's diminished because when you start out throwing 106 and you throw 99, that's still pretty viable. And that's why he's still.
Is that your contribution?
14.8.
That's what I just said.
Strikeouts per nine. Yeah, I don't know. Is he a Hall of Famer?
He's an absolute Hall of Famer.
20.8 career WAR.
Innings pitched.
760
hits.
447.
I mean, think about that for a minute. Strikeouts.
1246.
You're answering your own question.
I mean, I think he is, but will voters?
Yes. He's one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball history. What's his career ERA? Now,
Billy Wagner's WAR is 27, and he's having tough time.
He's having a tough time, but he'll get in. Aroldis Chapman may not get in the first ballot. And the one thing that will hold him back is his command, He walks a lot of people.
And his off-the-field stuff.
Right, but he walks a lot of people. And that will be a hindrance. But, yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
I hope. I'd like him to be.
And so is the great Dick Allen, who's up for the Veterans Committee, and we'll find out this weekend, I believe, that Richie Allen, Dick Allen, formerly of the Phillies, where he made the biggest name, but went over to the Cardinals, had a good run in St. Louis, too.
He was a great player. I wish baseball did.
Who'd we trade for Dick Allen?
I wish baseball did what football does. If you were great in football, it didn't matter if you were great for 3 years or 10 years or 5 years or 20 years. Right? Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame. Tony Baselli's in. Gale Sayers. All these guys who didn't have long careers but obviously were great. We don't do that in baseball. Don Mattingly doesn't get to go to the Hall of Fame.
We do a little bit more of it now with the Veterans Committee. Dick Allen never got particularly close with the Riders, but he's going to get in. He's a former MVP, and he was, gosh, I want to find his, the trade the Cardinals. Where do I get? Why can't I just get to this stuff? Here it is.
Transactions right there.
Traded by the Phillies with Jerry Johnson and Cookie Rojas, former Royal.
Yeah.
To the Cardinals on October 7th, 1969, in the big trade for Byron Brown, Curt Flood. That's the one where Curt Flood said, no, I'm challenging the reserve clause. I'm not going to Philadelphia. This trade does not have my blessing.
How's the trade happen on October 7th?
Joe Horner and Tim McCarver. Curt Flood refused to report to his new team.
Can you explain that?
Which meant that the Cardinals then had to send Willie Montanez to the Phillies instead of Flood. And Willie Montanez had a pretty good run in Philadelphia.
Not as good as Curt Flood.
Not as good as Curt Flood, but a good player.
You didn't answer my question.
I don't know what your question is.
How can there be a trade on October 7th?
Because times were different then.
Wasn't that during the playoffs, probably? Or
I don't know when it was.
There was no trade deadline?
There's no trade deadline. You find a trade you want to make, you make it. Willie Montanez had 1,600 hits in his career. Not bad.
It's pretty good.
It's good to remember Willie Montanez. Takes me back to another time.
Trade deadline has been in effect since 1986.
You make a trade. That was a blockbuster trade. Getting Dick Allen over to St. Louis was huge.
Yeah.
And I was a very happy 14-year-old boy.
Probably felt like he was a future Hall of Famer.
When that happened. The Cardinals, only 1 year in St. Louis. Then they traded him to the Dodgers. And I believe that was for Reggie Smith.
Might have been.
No, it wasn't. He was traded to the Dodgers for Ted Sizemore.
What's so funny?
Sizemore was a good player, but not even he's not Dick Allen.
Well, Dick Allen, he was not well-beloved by a lot of his teams.
He was only in L.A. for a year. They traded him to the White Sox for Tommy John.
That's a big one.
So this guy was involved in some interesting trades. All right, I'd love to talk about that for another 2 hours. I know our listeners would love to hear me break down
the
Dick Allen trades.
Give us one more.
No, I don't have any more.
That was it?
Traded by the Braves for Barry Bonnell.
Huh.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.